The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in John, the 14th chapter. And Jesus said, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I'm coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. But now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. So maybe you've heard this old Cherokee legend. The young grandson came into his grandpa's house, all troubled and upset over a fight he'd had with his friend. And the grandfather listened to his tale of woe, and after hearing it, he told a story of his own. He said, "A fight is going on inside me, my grandson. It's a terrible fight between two wolves. One is troubled and full of fear, anger, resentment, pride, and ego. The other wolf is full of peace, hope, joy, love, kindness. The same fight is going on inside of you, my grandson, and inside everyone." So the grandson thought about it for a little bit, and then he said, "Well, grandfather, which wolf will win?" And the grandfather said, "The one I feed. The one I feed." It's the two wolves we hear about in our gospel reading and the other readings as well. One is peace, the other is fear. And which one grows? The one we feed. Jesus was speaking to his disciples about the legacy he wanted to leave them in this passage. It was on the eve of his death in that upper room, and how strange that in that tension-filled situation, he says these words, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You know, the word for peace in the Bible really means shalom, wholeness, well-being of body, mind, and spirit, and relationships as well. Wholeness, wellness, peace. But sometimes we forget this legacy that Jesus died for us to have, don't we? And what makes for a troubled heart? Well, I'm sure you could come up with your own list. What's troubling you when it troubles you? Right? Well, one of those I can think of is fear. Fear of what might happen, you know? I'm reminded of that old saying, fear is like sitting in a rocking chair. It takes a lot of time and energy, but you never get anywhere, right? Or Mark Twain, who said, "You know, I have had thousands of troubles in my life, most of which never happened." Or how about blaming that one? Blaming somebody else for my unhappiness or distress. Kind of like, you know, if they would just do what they ought to do, then I could finally have some peace around here, right? And of course, that blaming leads to another thing we don't think about. It leads to us thinking of ourselves as victims. Because I'm putting my well-being in somebody else's hands as if I weren't free in Christ. Or how about this shaming ourselves? One of our imperfections gets exposed, and we beat ourselves up. At one time early in my career, if someone came through the line after church and offered even constructive criticism, boy, I tell you, I could lose sleep all night over that, beating myself up. Well, that doesn't happen much anymore. Thank God for progress and growing up. So bring on the feedback, guys. I can handle it. Or how about resentment? You know, the thing that can cause your spirit and your body to get toxic. Did you know it can really make your body toxic? Resentment? It's like drinking the poison, expecting it to kill someone else, huh? Or seeking revenge. I'm going to get back at you for that. Obsessing about that until it eats away also at your peace of mind and heart, your shalom, your well-being. You know, when we feed those things, also they affect not only us, but the people around us, and we end up doing what? We end up building walls instead of bridges between ourselves. But you know what? We can feed a different wolf. As those who live in the resurrection of Christ, to use another metaphor, whatever you focus on gets bigger. Whatever you focus on gets bigger. So if we're focused on what's wrong, what's negative, what's troublesome, what's worrisome, all that stuff, that's what gets bigger. However, remember St. Paul says to the church in Philippi, we can choose to focus on something else. Whatever is honorable, whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, he says, think on these things, and then the peace of Christ will be with you. Interesting, huh? In other words, when we focus on these things, they get bigger, and our peace, our well-being is the result. That's the point of our gospel reading today, right? We have this power to overcome the negative stuff that can eat away at us and destroy our peace. I want to suggest to you three things that might help you, they've helped me, to tap into the peace that Jesus died for you and me to have. And this is really good stuff. So if you can't remember it, that's okay. You can look online because we have our sermons online all the time. But first, the first one that I want to talk about is acceptance. In a chapter of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is a great book to read, there's a doctor who tells his story about how he got sober. And he talks about, first of all, it had to do with acceptance, that he was powerless over alcohol. And then to stay sober, it had to do with accepting a whole bunch of other things in his life. Here's just one paragraph of what he said here. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life, unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, he says, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. And until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Now, unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. So, for instance, when I'm troubled and upset, I can ask, what or who am I finding unacceptable right now? And then you might consider praying this version of the Serenity Prayer, or another one, but this one I saw in a counselor's office many years ago. God, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know it's me. It's good, huh? And what if God has made it this way, by the way? Just as it is, so I can learn to be at peace with things that are not to my liking particularly, huh? What if that's a gift from God? Not that it might not change later, not that later I might not need to do something, but for now, right now, God grant me the serenity to accept the things, the people, the situations I cannot change. A second thing that I found helpful in bringing peace to me is humility. Some people call it being teachable, right? Am I willing to learn from this situation I'm in? You know, having to be right can just so destroy my peace. So maybe I don't have to be right all the time. You know that saying, once I thought I was wrong, but I was mistaken, you know? Well, try saying this instead when you are getting all huffy and righteous over something or another. You know, this is what I think, and I feel strongly about it, but I might be wrong. And you know what? I have the right to be wrong. Sometimes. Or maybe you can say to yourself, maybe I'm just not seeing the whole picture. You know, another person you trust can be so irritatingly helpful here. I think I've told you about Joe Sittler. He was a professor at Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago. And when he was a small town parish pastor in the late 1930s, a family asked to meet with him about baptizing their daughter's illegitimate child. In those days, that meant unmarried people, right? For those of you who aren't old enough. Because can you imagine any child being considered illegitimate in God's eyes? For heaven's sakes. At least we've made some progress in that area, huh? But Joe was storming around the house, you know, building up this head of steam, you know, of righteousness. And he was saying, you know, this is so wrong. How can they even ask me to do this? Don't they realize how much trouble that would get me into? On and on and on. And his wife was listening to him rant and rave. And after a while, she said, Joseph, shut up. It's such a small baby. Humility. Being teachable. Another path to peace. The peace that Jesus wants for you. And the third suggestion I want to offer you for having a peaceful heart, appreciation. This last Wednesday night, our confirmation students and their mentors, all of us went in small groups to visit with the neighbors in Timber Ridge. So we stopped at various houses, and my group stopped and visited with a guy named Carlton, who asked us to pray for him and his family, by the way. So we're doing that this morning with others. At any rate, the morning of that flood, he was getting up at 5 in the morning to go to work, and he stepped right into a foot of water right in his bedroom. That's his first notice about the flood. And it came up so fast, they only had time to get their daughter, 4-year-old daughter, out of the house and get out of there. They lost both cars and all their possessions in the flood. And then the next day, Carlton found out that his renter's insurance does not cover flood damage. So then we were asking him how he was handling all this. And you know, it was interesting. He said, we're so blessed. God is so good to us. People have been helping us. We're safe. You know, and this is only stuff here, these piles of things. We can replace that eventually. But we are so blessed. I think he used that phrase 20 times in 10 minutes. We are so blessed. And when we came back to reflect on our experience as a small group, more than one of us was a little bit ashamed of how unappreciative we can be sometimes. Appreciation. Even in the toughest circumstances, that's a key to peace. So when you find you aren't happy with things, you know what you might want to try doing? Write a quick gratitude list of 10 things that you appreciate. And think on those things for a while. So, what do you suppose being at peace, in the peace of Jesus, has to do with welcoming one another? Figure I'd probably get to that eventually, right? Well, when we're going around being upset, fearful, resentful, irritable, how attractive is that? But now, St. Paul says, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away from God's peace have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. And you know what? People can tell when the peace of Christ is ruling our hearts. They can tell. It's attractive. People say, I want what you've got. Where'd you get it? And that's where this notion of welcoming and evangelism comes in. You know, welcoming is one hungry person telling another hungry person where to find the bread. That's all. You know what? Lord of Life is the most positive congregation I have ever had the privilege to be part of, ever. And it shows in the way you've handled this campaign. It shows in those people that have showed up at Timber Ridge just this week, and in so many other ways. That positive spirit is simply at the heart of who you are. And that's why we receive 100 new members a year. That spirit is attractive and contagious. And people say, I want more of that. Even with your worn-out, filthy carpets. Peace I leave with you, Jesus says to us. My peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus wants everyone to have it, this peace, in the worst of circumstances and in the best of circumstances. All are welcome. So, feel free to bring a few folks with you to peace. Because again, welcoming, simply one hungry person telling another one where to find the bread.